Well, thank you for joining me. It's a delight to pray with you. Thank you for joining. Well, thank you for joining me and so many others. There's so many people. I saw a map today. I was in a meeting earlier today of all the people that join the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Rosary around the world. And literally, it's not just the continental United States. It doesn't include just Hawaii or Alaska. We have people who pray with us in Tanzania, in South Africa, in Korea, you know, in Ireland and England and Germany and Italy. I mean, all over, you name it, there are souls that are praying with us. So we are really a united family. I think it's incredible. I'm so grateful for the opportunity just to be able to lead this and do my small part. But it's our united prayer. It's our combination of faith. It's our trust in the Lord that is really resulting in so many answered prayers for so many of our spiritual family here. I'll share a petition or two coming up, but let me get Maggie in first. She said to me as I was walking into the studio today, Drew, we got a really, was it a heartwarming, was the word you used, Maggie? Heartwarming letter. So why don't you share what you would like?
Handwritten, anonymous letter here to you, Drew. She first thanks you for praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. She says, it's always so touching and often heartbreaking to hear others' prayer requests. One common theme on it is prayers for children in the wrong crowd or on drugs or in trouble with the law. She says, I can relate. I've been there, done that. My now 30-something-year-old son ran away a number of times as a teen. We ended up in court. We were made to look like bad parents because of a dishonest social service worker. She goes on and on. She says, things got worse. His court record got longer and longer. She said, I honestly thought he might end up dead. Many felonies, she said. One night at about 4 a.m., he phoned us and was very afraid, talking out of his mind. She said, we could hear other voices in the background that indicated that our son was high on drugs. Suddenly, the call dropped. What could I do? I had no idea where he was. I decided I needed to give my son entirely to Jesus. I couldn't deal with anything anymore. My heartache was so bad. She says, I was actually able to go calmly back to sleep after I prayed about this. It took time, but my son made an incredible turnaround. Today, he has a fiance, loves his job, and is proud of his accomplishments. She says, please pray that he marries soon in the church if this is the right girl for him. She says, so I'm just writing to encourage parents to hang in there and to pray. Give your child to Jesus. He will do the rest. I hope this helps someone. Thank you and bless you for all that you do. Let's keep praying. Anonymous mom in Minnesota.
Well, Anonymous, thank you for sharing that because it re-echoes what I often say. I mean, I don't think there's anything more terrifying than your child calling you in the middle of the night, knowing he's on drugs and not knowing something happened to your child. And to see the path that your children go down, you're not alone. There's so many parents right now who are listening whose children are addicted or in a bad lifestyle or going down that path that is leading to perdition and to greater suffering. You worry about their criminal record. You worry about their addictive behavior. You wonder about the damage that they're exposed to. God's the great healer. God is merciful. God can convert and he can change and he can heal. I look at Augustine. We talked about this the other day, Mary of Egypt. You take a look at so many of these incredible conversion stories. As a parent, you did your best to raise your children, right? At least the best you could. I mean, we could probably all do better. All you can do now is pray. I just want to speak to that parent who says, I don't know what else to do. I'm so worried. Well, don't fear. Don't give in anxiety. Don't allow depression or despondency to overtake you. Don't lose sleep at night over it. Because that'll do nothing but raise your own blood pressure and age you, give you a few more grays. And it's not going to do anything for you. Your trust and your faith in the Lord will work miracles. I'm telling you that. I really want you to put your trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, you gave me this child. Now I'm giving him to you. And that's all you can do. Just put him in the hands of the Lord and allow the Lord to do the rest. Your prayers and your own sacrifice, your own suffering will bring about a change. I've seen it over and over again. This mother testified to it. What are, you know, kid has records, is doing drugs, his life's a mess. And look, His life's on a totally new trajectory. My uncle was away from the faith for years. Total conversion as a result of his mother's prayer. So, I mean, I see it over and over and over again. And the same will be true in your life, because I really believe that the one prayer the Lord always answers, he hears and answers, is that prayer of conversion. God will give the soul the grace. He will give your child, your spouse, your sibling, your loved one, the grace. You just got to do your part, okay, and pray and trust. We'll get to the calls today, too. And if you want Maggie to share a few more of your intentions, at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. Continue to pray for my friend Yaya. I want to pray for Peter Grandage. Peter, we're still praying for you. We know your battle's a tough one, so hang in there. Just one or two quick intentions that came across my radar. This person said, my daughter recently suffered two miscarriages. Drew, she's really suffering. Would you please pray for her? Also, when I saw this email last night, I turned to my wife because I was checking these last night as I was getting ready for the next today's show. I was just going through some of the inbox, and this poor mother wrote to me. She says, my son, Suchi Lee, was found dead this morning outside of at a park. Would you please pray for the repose of his soul? May God have mercy on his soul, because he took his own life. And we are praying for you. I'm going to keep your name anonymous, but we are praying for you. I prayed for you last night. I prayed for you this morning during Mass. I'm praying for you. God, and I just want to say to anyone who's lost a child by suicide, it's not your failure. So I think as a parent, sometimes we go back to what we were just talking about. We blame ourselves. I didn't do enough. I should have seen the signs. It's not your fault, first. And then secondly, God's merciful. I mean, God is merciful. He is love and mercy itself. And you know how much you loved your child? How much more does God love your child? I can't even comprehend it. Can't even comprehend it. And of course, we all have free will, and there's arguments on both sides. I defer to the side of God's mercy. And trust that child to him. We're going to pray the chaplet now for all those who've taken their life by suicide, all those who died in tragedy and accident may not have been right with God, and we're going to trust them to the mercy of God. God's outside of time. He hears these prayers, and that soul, I really believe, receives grace. God doesn't want to lose anyone. He left the 99 to go after the one, and he's certainly not going to let that happen to your child in its final moments. Let's pray right now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus. But the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Front Royal, Virginia. Leo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm asking the good Lord be so kind to inspire the insurance company and the collision repair shop to complete the repair of my accident car so that I can, with whatever the Lord wants me to pay, and to make that happen. so I can continue to help others, and especially a family that I want to come bring to the Catholic Church for their inspiration to find a way to faith, and also my lady friend, I'm engaged to,
all right,
to give her rides and get to the clinics and everything we need to get done.
Let's pray for right now, Leo. I know you were the first call in today, and you were waiting for a while, so I'm going to lift you up, and we'll put this into the hands of the Lord. And I love these intentions, because we can ask for huge things, you know, conversion and the eradication of cancerous tumors and all sorts of things that seem impossible. And we can also ask for those temporal things, right? And that's such a beautiful prayer. I for his vehicle, that the job will get completed, be well done, the insurance will cover it. But I pray for anyone right now who's concerned about their finances, anybody who's drowning in debt, anybody who doesn't know how they're going to make ends meet, those who are having trouble making mortgage payments, car payments, repairs on the vehicles that they need, repairs on the equipment in their home. I just give you these temporal needs that we have. And I just give to you, Leo, in a particular way. Allow that insurance company to put this, pass this through, let his vehicle get repaired, and he has blessings on his relationship and all the good that he does. So I ask you to hear his prayers. And I just thank you, Lord. You know, you told St. Faustina you would create entire new worlds. You'd create an entire new world for her. And I often think about that. It's a diary entry there that I've shared with you in the past. If God can do that, and he's the creator of the universe, right? He's the creator of all. Yeah, how simple is it for him to resolve our financial hardships or those temporal problems that seem to plague us? Do not worry. All right? Pray, ask big, believe, exercise your faith. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy. Mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Alicia, listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, good afternoon. Hey. Hi, Drew. I'm calling for a prayer for my mother, Teresa. My mother lost mobility of able to walk and move her hands since October. And the doctors have given us no reason. They haven't told us that she would never walk again, or there's just, they don't know what's wrong with her. And, you know, my mom would, as long as I could remember life, my mom would always give us the blessing, and she can't do that anymore. Oh. So I'm asking, please, for prayer from everyone. I've heard so many stories and miracles,
yep,
listening to the chaplet.
Yep.
I'm hoping that my mom would be one of those miracles. So I thank you. I thank everyone who prays every day for Relevant Radio. Thank you.
God bless you, Alicia. So we're going to pray for you, okay? We're going to pray for your mom. We're going to pray for her right now. And you're just one of our family. You're a member of the family. All who join us every day, we're united in prayer. It's such a beautiful and powerful experience. This is what I call my spiritual family. And we want to pray for your mom right now. You know, how do we make miracles happen, right? You hear about them all the time here. You do it with belief and with trust. You know, we got to open up. The sky's the limit. God hears you. And God will respond when it is in his will. We always have to discern what God's will is. But it's better, I think, to appreciate how much God wants to help us, even bless us. And yet we limit ourselves. Too often we pray as if though we're confined in a closet, right? We need to throw open that door. We need to cry out to God. We need to say, Lord, please. We need to think big and pray big. So, Lord, I pray as a result of these prayers, united with all of our spiritual family here from this moment forward, her mother who lost the ability to walk and use her hands, doctors will diagnose and be able to determine what the cause of that is and bring her healing. If not, Lord, I ask for your divine touch right now that to the amazement of these doctors, that this woman regains all mobility. I pray for peace for Alicia. I pray for all those facing undiagnosed problems, critical situations, situations that just seem to have no way out. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And before I go to Maggie, I was just thinking, as I was praying for Alicia and her mom, Ugo Festo was a man who I met in Trento, Italy. I wrote about him in my book. He had debilitating diseases that left him in a wheelchair, unable to walk, and he was dying. He prayed before the image of divine mercy. John Paul told him, put your trust in St. Faustina, put your trust in the mercy of God. And he did. And after days of prayer, Jesus actually came out of this image, literally came out of him. Ugo said, Drew, it was like the man of Galilee was walking on the water. He said, he literally stepped out of this painting, took me by the hand and told me to stand up. Ugo was miraculously cured. Miraculously cured. MS, MD, he had all sorts of other issues. Doctors did not give him a very good diagnosis. He had been so frustrated with God, but he decided to really trust in the mercy of God. And he saw an unbelievable miracle, unbelievable. So, God can do anything, always God's will, right? Let's submit, because if the Lord wants us to persist in our situation, it's for a greater good and it's for our own holiness. Maggie, what's coming in from everyone else? What can we pray for?
So many different kinds of requests today. Sometimes, you know how there's a theme. Mm-hmm. Today, it's all sorts of tweets. Tanya asked for prayers for her daughter, Marissa. She says, she lives in Seattle and has disowned us. She's living a promiscuous lifestyle. I believe she has been involved in the occult. I pray every day that the light of her baptism will shine in her heart and the gifts of the Holy Spirit from her confirmation will fill her. Katie wrote to us and said, Drew, thanks for praying the chaplet. It's so powerful. She said, please pray for our amazing pastor, Father Dan, who's struggling right now with a lot of anxiety. Please pray for our staff and our parish. Leonardo wrote to us and said, for our daughter Sienna as she discerns her high school next year. She's been burdened with this decision to the point of tears. Wow. Please pray that she knows the Lord's peace and protection and that she never strays from his path. Rosie wrote to us and said, prayers for my beloved cousin Lawrence, who succumbed to cancer over the weekend. May his soul and the souls of my beloved family members gone before us rest in peace in Christ. Thank you, Drew and Maggie. Mm. Mary wrote to us and said that we can afford all the needed repairs to our home. And lastly, this was good news, Drew. Linda wrote to us and said, I'm praying in thanksgiving for my grandson's successful second heart transplant.
Wow.
And healing. He's been home a month now after 3 months in the hospital and is doing really well. Our family is so thankful for all the prayer warriors who prayed for Shay. Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen to that. And I want to let you know, because I've been asking you to pray for several days for a friend of mine. His name is Doug. I just got a text from his wife last night and says, not that she doesn't want the prayer, but she says, no more intervention needed. He has come through the procedure and is absolutely doing absolutely fantastically. He's doing wonderfully. So I just want to pass that along to you, because we've all been praying every single day. And I want to thank God for hearing those prayers. And again, for anybody who has cardiac issues, anybody who's having issues with their heart and needs bypasses or other procedures that are done, angioplasties, whatever it might be. So we'll give God the heart physically. We'll give him our wounded heart. And we'll just ask the Lord to read the prayers of our heart, all those tensions that we voice and sometimes don't voice. Sometimes we forget to pray for. Maggie was asking me about Yaya. Not yet. I'm going to call her. She had a big meeting yesterday, so I want to hear. And this, I'll have to share the story of Yaya one day on the air, because I wouldn't be sitting here behind this microphone if it was not for this lady. You talk about God's providence. I really want to write a book on providence. I should bring her on. And I tell her all the time, God put certain people in my life that led me here, and she was one of those people that led me into the world of into your world, really allowing you to pray the chapel. It's so weird how God works. All right, well, let's take Chris. Well, pray for all those intentions, and we'll add Chris, who's in Bethesda, Maryland, to join us as well. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to raise up to the Divine Mercy and to Sister Faustina and the Holy Mother of God, my own mother, who went into the emergency room of the hospital today. She has great difficulty breathing because of fluid in her lungs connected to cancer.
Yeah.
So I'd like to lift her up to the Divine Mercy, above all, and absolutely for her salvation, but also for physical healing, and that would be great. And so God bless you, Drew, and thank you.
Chris, hang in there. You know, your story of your mom reminds me of my own father. He had cancer. He had the pulmonary edema where the lung was filling up with fluid. I'm going to pray for her right now. We'll lift her up, and I'm going to pray for you and for your entire family. It's so difficult to see a parent not be able to breathe. That was the case of my father. They had to tap his lungs a few times. I'll never forget, though, this was the last time I saw them. And I don't want to say this to you in a way to just make you despondent, but we'll certainly pray for your mother. I remember the doctors knew that the cancer had progressed and that my father was dying, and he could tap his lung again, but it was just going to be a continual process. And they asked him what he wanted to do, and he simply pointed to heaven. He says, I want to go home. That's what he said. And it was devastating, of course, to my mother and to the family. We were all there. But we will be reunited with our loved ones. It's so hard to lose a parent. Just so hard. Lord, I give you Chris's mother. I don't know what your will is. If it's your will, let them remedy this situation. Extend her life so she can continue to be a blessing to her family. I pray for all those, though, you are calling home in many different ways. Give them the grace to say yes to you, to accept your mercy. Lord, I pray for conversion of those who do not know you. And I give you all these intentions that have been voiced as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Lori is in Oak Lawn, Illinois. Lori, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
didn't want to cry. But my brother-in-law is going through a heart surgery right now, or open heart surgery.
Okay.
And my second brother-in-law is in the hospital with his blood pressure is 220 over 110. So please, we need help.
Wow. Okay. Well, Lori, thank you for calling. I'm glad you got through.
Thank you.
We'll pray for them. Okay. And it's okay to cry. Lord, I just give you her brother-in-laws, one with open heart surgery right now, and I ask you, Divine Physician, to be the hands. Pray for those with threatening blood pressure. Lord, I pray for those who are having issues with cholesterol, blood pressure, other ailments of the body. And I bring to you the infirm and the sick, so many crying out with chronic arthritis, with diabetes, with MS, muscular dystrophy, you name it, Lord, Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever it may be that threatens the well-being of those now united with me. And I just ask, as I gather the sick to you, that you send those graces of healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll take our next call from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Hi, Stacy.
Oh, hi, Drew. I lost my job early December. and I do have a job interview that is scheduled tomorrow morning. It's a very good job, and I just want everybody to pray that they will see the good that I have to bring to the table and they will hire me. I just want to reach out for the health and well-being of all my family, especially those who will be traveling this weekend as well.
All right.
Thank you, Drew.
You got it, Stacy. You hang in there, okay? We're gonna pray for you. I think your mother is actually calling in. I just see this right now. Maggie's telling me that. So before we say a few prayers here, let's get Marlene, who's also in Stevens Point. Marlene, I'm assuming you're the mother of Stacy. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I am.
That's a small world.
I would like to have prayers, for my husband. He has skin cancer, and I would like that to be healed. Also, my son Anthony has pains in his stomach that he has had for months. He went to two doctors, and they can't do anything for him. Also, I wanted to, of course, for my son Stacy to get a good job. And then grandchildren, nieces, and nephews, to bring them back to church and to heal their addictions.
Amen to that. Well, let's pray for it right now. You got it, Marlene. Thank you. I want to pray for Stacy's mother, Marlene. All those intentions, her husband and his skin cancer and the grandkids and those addicted. But Lord, I give you Stacy, who lost the job. It's very difficult in this economy. And I just ask that when he goes into that interview tomorrow, that you anoint him with an unparalleled eloquence, that you illuminate his mind with a great intelligence, that you let him emanate a charisma, that they see the qualities that he possesses and they're drawn to him, and that he can be a blessing to that company. And if that's not your will, Lord, tomorrow, then open the other door. Give him hope. I pray for all those underemployed, unemployed, those in need of mercy. And I pray for everyone now and hold me. I apologize. I couldn't get everyone on air. I pray for everyone who's written, everyone now united with me. And we turn to you with trust. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for praying. Do me one favor, though. Please send me your answered prayers. I just get a sense that God is hearing prayers. Some are very instant. Some might take a little bit of time. Remember, we prayed. And then email me, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Mark an answered prayer or praise report or whatever you want. And I'm going to share some of those before the end of this week. I just want to thank you for praying with me. I just feel the Spirit so powerfully. And pray for me. I need your prayer. Satan does not like this chapel, I'll tell you that much. Does not like what we're doing here, but I'm here every day. Tell others. Okay, I'm going to be right back. Next issue that we're going to dive into is something you should hear. It's what the Surgeon General just warned. If you got kids, you might want to hang around.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future?
More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Great to be with you. I learned something new during the break. You know, my producer, Maggie, she used to work with Dave Ramsey, with his organization, for a while. I don't know if you know Dave Ramsey. He's helped a lot of people, you know, get their finances in order. And Maggie says in my headset, oh, America's mom is up. I said, America's mom, is that what you call her? Yeah. Maggie, open your mic for a second. I didn't know that about Dr. Meeker.
She speaks all the time with Dave when he does like conferences and stuff. And he would always introduce her as America's mom. And I just, it stuck. It got ingrained in me because she is.
I like that. America's mom. Dr. Meeker, of course, is a pediatrician. She is a mother, right? She's the best-selling author of about 6 books. I've had her on a lot in the past. I'm going to get you connected to her website. It's called meekerparenting.com, so you can check out America's Mom there. And I've invited her to stop by today to talk about, something that really I was applauding. You know, I watch a lot of different outlets. I was surfing across, I think it was CNN that I saw this on, and I saw the Surgeon General come out. And he made a statement, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. He said that he believes at 13 years of age, right, 13-year-olds, that they're too young to be on social media, just too young. And this is something we've been talking about for a long time. I see the rise in anxiety. I see the rise in depression amongst kids. I see isolation, suicide rates. Right. And I wonder, and I've always said, look, it's got to be social media. It's got to be the tablets and everything else that's in our kids' hands right now. Most big tech firms have said it at that age, being the youngest you can to join, let's say Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat. And that's kind of the baseline age. Google, which owns YouTube, has the same baseline. But they also allow some younger than 13 to have an account if you have parental, supervision. But this is what Murthy said. He said, look, it's time where it's really important for us to be thoughtful about what's going on into how we think about their own self-worth and their relationship and the skewed and often distorted environment of social media. It does a disservice to too many of those children. And I thought, bravo. You know, you're talking about the brightest mind in the tech industry up against your 13-year-old. Who's going to win that, right? It's your one 13-year-old against, you know, billions of dollars, technology, and experts in the field. They want to addict your kid. They want them on there. They want views. They want time spent watching. That's what it's all about. I say go pick on somebody your own size, right? Leave our kids alone. So, you know, Dr. Murthy was right. And he also suggests that parents should ban social media altogether and set an age when their kids are allowed on social media, whether it's 16, 17, 18. The banding together part is important because, your kid is going to be watching on somebody else's device, right? And my wife was telling me about a friend that she had who had a young kid, and she banned him from watching social media. And found out that at school the kid was watching it, so there was a parents' meeting. She went to this parents' meeting and called every mother and father out. My kid is not allowed to watch this, and I want to make sure your kids don't expose my kid. He's held him accountable. I'm like, well, bravo. The child was so embarrassed by his mother, or by her mother, and she went to the grandmother and says, I think mom needs medication. The grandmother says, no, she just loves you. She just loves you. She's looking out for you. And in retrospect, that kid will look back and say, man, I had a great parent, right? Dr. Meeker joins me now. We'll talk a little bit about it. You can join us, too, at 888-914-9149. Love to hear from you, your concerns, maybe even your experiences. Hey, America's Mom, good to have you with us. I didn't know your background there. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be with you, Drew. Dave is a character, and we were just over the air. He just said that one day we're sitting next to each other, and I thought, well, okay, and it stuck. So it's kind of funny.
It's a great moniker. I love it. And you are. How many kids do you have, Doc?
I have 4. And I have grandchildren now, too, which is pretty amazing. Wow. And, yeah, so we're busy.
And, of course, you are our country's leading authority on parenting and teens and children's health. So that's why I thought I'd bring you into the conversation today. I'm sure you heard the Surgeon General. What'd you make of those comments? What was your reaction? I was actually quite glad to hear him say that. But your thoughts?
Oh, I was thrilled. And I kept saying, well, it's about time. I wish that he would have put the age higher. You know, I would have liked him seeing it's really not okay for 15-year-olds, even because I've personally seen in our practice, my practice, the effects of social media and depression and suicide in girls. And it's very, very disturbing. And here's the thing, I really think, and they're created to be addictive, you know, so often parents will say, well, my, you know, child watches it, but they only watch it, they only do it, they're on social media maybe half hour a day. And I thought, well, you know, you really can't leave it up to your kids to monitor it because it is so highly addictive. But I was thrilled that he did it. And I really hope that parents take note, because if he comes out and says this, you know, parents really need to pay attention and say, okay, how are we going to respond to this? And now what are we going to do? Because we have to change what we're doing. Parents have to change what we're doing with kids.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, what do you do? I agree. I mean, look, when my kids were growing up, cell phones were just, you know, they were coming out. I mean, you had flip phones at that point in time. And, you know, the challenges today are so radically different. You've got TikTok and you've got Facebook and Twitter and you got all these other things, Instagram, that kids are on. And you might say in the house, no, you can't have it until you're X amount. But, you know, they have friends and they're going to be exposed. How do you protect your kids? I guess if you do something, it's better than doing nothing at all, right? But does moderate exposure have the same impact as what we're now seeing?
No. We do know that the more a girl is on social media, the higher her risk of depression and suicide. Uh-huh. So they really are kind of parallel curves, which is very, very interesting. There are some things you can do. You know, we're coming up with these new phones, the Gab phone and Gizmo, where kids can have them, they can have the watch, but they can't get on the internet. So kids can text, they can call, they can watch some things, they can't send photos back and forth. And these are wonderful alternatives for kids who want a phone and who need to get hold of their parents, but their parents just don't want them on the internet yet. And so that's a wonderful thing. The other thing that parents can do is I encourage, you know, parents, moms or dads, a group in a kid's class and say, you know, we four mothers are going to be the geeks, the geek mothers in the class, and say, you know, we're not going to allow our kids to have phones, whatever, and create sort of positive peer pressure, because that's got to happen at some point, because these high tech people, they don't want their kids on the phone. They just want our kids to be on social media.
Right. That's so true. I mean, you look at what China's doing. They totally banned this in their country. And if you are on TikTok and you do a search, it's about how to do a science program or to be a better citizen or how to study better. Very different environment behind some of the manufacturers of this type of apparatus. I'm curious to what happens in the brain. You said, you know, you'd like to see this banned later. Just for those who are listening, who have grandkids or children, what goes on in the developing brain of these adolescents, and why does this exposure, is it the rate of stimuli that they're getting? Is it the length of the video? Is it the intensity? Is it the message? I mean, what's happening in the brain and the processing of all that data?
I think it's all of that, but we do know that repetition, you know, repeated exposure to social media, the longer you're on social media, the more impact it's going to have on your neurodevelopment. And we do know that still as kids are growing up during the adolescent years, it's a time of tremendous brain growth and activity and pruning of nerves. And so it really can change a child's brain, and those changes can stay with them forever. And, you know, that's really pretty sobering, because the child's brain is just so active at that time. Because now we know, of course, that the brain isn't fully developed into the early 20s or mid-20s even. And so you can have a lot of shifts going on. They've actually done studies as well on teenage boys and video games, they found the exact same thing happening. I mean, the brain is a living organism that's changing. It's just like anything else. You know, if you just, you know, put too much sugar in your body, or you put, you know, you're going to have a lot of health issues. But, you know, this is really disturbing about the brain changes. We do know, for instance, if you put some kids side by side, a girl on social media X hours a week versus a girl who's reading books and going outside X hours a week, that you would be able to see a change over time in their brain.
That's fascinating. My guest today, Dr. Meg Beaker. Doc, I'm going to take a very short pause. Stay with me. Come back. We'll grab some calls. If you're on hold, I'll get you on. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. The Surgeon General making headlines saying, hey, we need to be more proactive. We got to keep kids 13 years and younger off of social media. It's a health concern. My guest today, Dr. Meg Beaker, says that number should be a lot higher. If you want to join us, feel free to. I'll be right back. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
Substance without the static. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Well, great to be with you today. Thanks for joining me. Trying to give you a look at life that you don't get anywhere else. And invited Dr. Meg Beaker to join me today as we take a look at something that I think all of us now are intimately aware of, that social media exposure to our kids is, well, it can be damaging. I think it needs governance. I think you need to make sure you know what your kids are looking at. And are there alternatives to keep them safe? Dr. Meeker wrote a number of books, and you can check them out. I think she wrote six of them and is considered really one of our nation's leading authorities on parenting and teens and your children's health. Go to MeekerParenting.com. That's her website, MeekerParenting.com. That's M-E-E-K-E-R, parenting.com. You can get all the info there, and it's good to have her back. And before I jump into Philip and everyone else on the phones here, Doctor, I want to follow up with you because you know, I think it's important that parents are able to stay connected to their kids. I mean, that was my thing when we gave our kids cell phones. It was because we wanted the safety factor. We didn't want them, you know, not being able to connect to us or us being able to know where they are or talk with them when we need it. But cell phones have really evolved now. You know, there are many computers in the hands of adolescents, and the stuff that you can see on a playground is, you know, quite dangerous, you know, depending on what you're exposed to. So you were talking about an alternative. Maybe you can share that with everyone as well.
You bet, because, you know, they're not going away. And I do think parents want to have connection with their kids. They want their kids to be able to call them if they need something. And I totally understand this. But they're coming out with these wonderful new phones, the Gab phone, G-A-B-B, and then a Gizmo. And they come either in a phone or a watch. Kids can, you know, call, they can text. And the only people they can call or text are people that are pre-approved by their parents, but they can't connect to the internet. And it's just really wonderful. And so I really encourage parents to go look at these because it satisfies that desire in a kid to be able to, you know, have a watch or a phone like their friends do, to be able to text and call. But at the same time, it kind of keeps them out of trouble. I also encourage parents to have, you know, family rules around phones or social media or video game use, and sort of say, okay, this is what these are the times you're allowed to be doing X, Y, and Z, and we're going to apply it to ourselves too. Next time you go into a restaurant, look around and see how many families are sitting there, and look and see if one or two of the parents are on their phone.
So true.
They are. We can be as bad as the kids.
Yeah, that's so true. I'm a talker, right? I love when I travel. It's making conversation with people I don't know. You know, I just like to have conversations, right? It used to be that way when I traveled all the time. Now everybody stands in line on their phone. They sit down in their seat with their phone. I mean, people just don't engage anymore.
No.
And it's true. You go out to dinner. In fact, I was having dinner with a guest on the show, Dr. Bob Tabali, and a friend. And he made the comment. He says, Drew, look over there. I looked over. All four people at the table, the mother in particular, was on the phone. kids were eating their meal and there was no conversation. I'm thinking that's just dysfunctional is really what it is.
Right. It really isn't. And what we're teaching our kids is this is the way you live. Yep. So, and I can almost guarantee you if parents are on phones and they're not talking to somebody, they're scrolling through their Instagram or they're checking their texts or they're looking at their emails. So we as parents need to really pay attention to our screen use and cell phone use. And when you walk in the house and you're around your kids, just put it up in a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, that's good advice. All right, we'll take a few calls. I only have a couple of minutes left. If you want to get in, it's 888-914-9149. Also, you can share what you have seen that since your kids have been exposed to social media. Have you seen a change in their behavior, their attitudes? Love to hear your experience and maybe what you're doing to safeguard your kids. Just as I said, it's just a few moments. The number's 888-914-9149. Philip in Phoenix, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Dr. Meeker.
Hey, what an honor. Thank you, Dr. Meeker. I have your book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. Right. Rude, nice to talk to you, too.
Thanks, Phil.
really.
Thanks.
we're an intact family. You know, all the kids, we have 5 kids, 2 boys, 3 girls, and the youngest is now 16. And they all, you know, about that age, they come out and say, Dad, I need a cell phone, I need a cell phone. And for the youngest, we finally wised up. You know, I got her a cell phone. It was a flip phone. It wasn't what she wanted, but kept her off the internet. And you know, the bottom line is that she's now a 4.0 student. She's, wow. You know, she's that's reading great. Aristotle. She's, you know, I mean, that's the school she's going to. Wow. It's just, we have good, we have a lot of laughter around the dinner table on our conversations. You know, we talk on the way to school when we pick her up, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's all good. Love your book. Wow. Love your show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's great to hear from you, and I'm glad that I was able to help you and encourage you. You know, I think that's a great point. I think awesome. That talking with your kids about what they're doing on the internet, even just around the dinner table, you know, hey, if you do have a 16, 17-year-old girl on Instagram, hey, who's doing what? What's going on? So to bring it forth also, you know, with boys, if they're playing video games, too, it's an important thing to do. So, but I applaud you. I think good for you. And just FYI, my husband, who's a physician as well, he carries a flip phone, and the reason he carries a flip phone is because he knows his personality. He will get on the internet. He'll sit there for 2 hours just surfing from one site to another. He said, that's a waste of time, so I'm not going to do that. And I thought, good for you.
Hey, Philip, congratulations, man. I'm really happy to hear that. What a wonderful testimony you left for everybody. Bravo to you. Well, doctor, I'm grateful for your time, too. He talked about having your book. Let me let you recommend one. Is there something that can help parents with this issue in your archive there? Or what would you suggest?
Well, you know,
kind of resource?
Yes, I have done. I've done a number of podcasts, one with Tom Kersting, and I've done a number on social media. So what I would do is just go to my podcast and roll through and see if there are any that stand out, because I've done several of those. But we are having there's so much research coming out now about social media and girls and video games and boys. But also there's some wonderful things that we can do to help our kids. Oh, gosh. And I wish I knew it off the top of my head. I did a podcast with a lady who has an organization that really helps parents with kids and social media. So it's on my podcast list. I've just done 200 and I just don't remember her name. So
well, you are busy. Well, meekerparenting.com is the website to go to check out all the info. And just a final thought. I'm sitting here as you're talking about your husband being a physician, you being a physician. In your practice, I'm just curious as to what you're seeing. Is there an uptick in people coming in worried about their kids as a result of this? Or what are you seeing in your practice?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing that intrigues me. I can't remember the last time in 5 years that I've had a parent say they want their kids on social media. 99% of the parents that I talk to say, I don't want my kids on it. I don't want my kids on it, but I don't know what to do. And this is where I encourage them, well, you know, why don't you create a group, a pod of mothers or fathers and say, you know, we're going to go together and we're going to tell all of our kids, even tell them you're doing an experiment. We want you off social media for a month and this kind of a thing. But really positive peer pressure, because that does that does help, because honestly and truly, parents don't want this, you know, and doctors don't want it. And I kind of scratch my head thinking, well, then, you know, why are we allowing our kids to do it? I think it's more complex because I think it's a whole family thing.
I'm also hopeful. I mean, you know,
I am too.
This is a whole new arena. We knew nothing about this. Scientists and psychologists and psychiatrists, everybody's seeing the bad fruit of early exposure to this. We'll get it right, and hopefully there'll be a way to best govern it and keep our kids healthy. So I'm grateful for what you do and look forward to next time we connect. So keep up your great work, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you. That's Dr. Meg Meeker. Check her out at meekerparenting.com. That's her website, meekerparenting.com. We got a lot to get into coming up. I want to talk Tom Brady today. All right. I want to talk about his retirement announcement. We'll get into that a little bit later. Also, when you buy something at discount online, are you really paying for more? Are you paying more? Fascinating. I don't want to call it a scam. There's new research out that says yes. Stay with me. I'll break it all down for you straight ahead.